Hello and welcome to the RTE Soccer Podcast. I'm Anthony Pine. It is the morning after the night before. The Republic of Ireland's dreams of making it to the Euros in Switzerland are over, unfortunately, after Wales came away from the Aviva with a 2-1 win. I'm joined by Maite Burka and Rhianna Jarrett to pore over the drama and to look ahead to what happens next. Lots of question marks around the future now in the cold light of day. I guess I'll cut to the chase, Maeve. And did Wales deserve to go through, in your opinion?
I suppose they scored more goals. That's the answer at the end of the day. But no, I mean, I think they managed the game well. I think they managed the two legs well, better than us. I still think that we were the better team over the two legs. And I suppose I would have thought we were deserving, but did we do enough? Obviously not over the two legs, like I said. And it was just really disappointing to have been in such a good position and put ourselves in such a good position and been given a favourable draw in terms of been drawn against a lower ranked team than us. That's the disappointing part, I suppose, that we just couldn't get the job done.
Yeah, fine margins, absolutely, Rhianna. What was your take on it? Do you think Ireland were unlucky, or did Wales just have a little bit more? And if they did, why was that?
I don't think there was much in it. I think across the two legs, and I think both scorelines kind of tell the picture there. I think the second game, especially last night, was probably a tale of two halves. I do think that we had the upper hand in the first half. Now, don't get me wrong, Wales did look dangerous. On the breakaway, on the counter-attack, they attacked us quickly, they drove at us, and we kind of put ourselves into some unfavourable situations in that first half as well, and we had some decent chances. If you look at Denise O'Sullivan's chance to hit the crossbar, I think if that goes in, it's a different game. You've got the crowd behind you, you've got the momentum. I genuinely think that the penalty just after halftime stunned them, and we just never recovered in the second half. We couldn't string passes together. We couldn't get a foothold on the game. And they'll be bitterly disappointed with the second goal and the manner in which they conceded, conceding from a Welsh goal kick where we should be set up to defend. We should be strong. We were completely all over the place when they won the flick on our right-hand side, and we were completely exposed in the back line then, and a great finish, but there was a mountain to climb. And yes, we gave it a good push towards the end of the second half and got the crowd going. And obviously, when Megan Campbell comes on, you know, we are getting with the throws, and probably unfortunate that we didn't get the second with the clearance off the goal line. But we just gave ourselves that a little bit too much to do and probably didn't get ticking fast enough after that second goal went in.
Hindsight is a beautiful thing, Rhianna, but there isn't a huge amount of goals in that Ireland team. Even the second leg against Georgia, it was a 3-0 win. Now, I know 6-0 over there, but when you look at Saoirse Noonan and Emily Whelan, to name but two, scoring a lot of goals in Scotland, good around the box, it wasn't a mistake not to include them in the squad. You know, where we lack in just that kind of poacher and some of that sort of instinct to find the net.
I think it's difficult. I think if you look at in our run of games in the previous campaign, Kira Caruso was on fire. She had her goal, she had momentum. You look at her move to San Diego, probably not goals coming in and out, but I'd still back Kira Caruso, I'd still back her in front of goal. I do think that she offers something different. I mean, Emily Whelan and Saoirse Noonan, Saoirse was absolutely flying since her move to Celtic, and fair play to her, but there is just that level of difference. Obviously, Emily hasn't been in and around the senior team for a while now, and obviously Saoirse dropped out not too long ago. I do think that they both have something to offer. They're different types of players than each other, but also different styles of players to what we have in there. But Eileen seemed to stick to what she knew. As I said, I'd back Kira Caruso. I think She's a thankless runner up there. I think usually last night it didn't work. I don't think we got her in the game enough. I think that when we were looking to build up, it was more Julianne that was coming to feet, and we were looking for Julianne to hold up the play, which is the complete opposite of what you would have expected. I just think that Julie was picking up the better pockets in front of the Welsh back line that you would have expected Kira Caruso to pick up. And I don't know if that's just because when we were looking to come down our left-hand side, Julie was on that side. But as I said, the two girls are flying in Scotland and they're definitely asking questions and who knows what's for them.
Maeve, I think I've been in four press conferences with Rhian Wilkinson over the last week, and she's spoken about Ireland's direct, physical, aggressive style and consistently. I mean, would that have graded, do you think? Like, we, you know, when, since Vera's departure, when Vera stepped away, there was a lot of talk of wanting to have a more expansive style and to play more football and keep the ball on the deck. But here we have an opponent, an opposition manager, referencing physicality and aggression and not getting sucked into their style of play. And ultimately, you know, in fairness, when the Irish goal did come last night, it did come from a long throw-in. Like, is there fair, legitimate questions around the evolution of this Ireland team? Has the style changed sufficiently, do you think?
I don't think it has changed a whole lot, to be honest with you, yeah, since you know, since the World Cup or that. Obviously the formation change and that we're playing two up top is a big thing, because I think it does allow us to be a bit more direct but with purpose, and you know, in that it's not just going up to Ciara Cruz and wait for her to hold it up and then try to get players up the pitch. When we have the two up there, you know, we can get up quicker and he has that support initially. But no, I don't think we've seen a huge huge change, you know, evolution under Eileen as such. I think it's been quite similar. But then again, the, you know, the players that we have at our disposal haven't changed greatly either in terms of from the World Cup to now. So I think, you know, you can work with what you have as well. And I mean, the development of players is a whole other conversation. But definitely I think there hasn't been a huge dramatic change. And I think maybe there was a bit of mind game as well, you know, but there was a lot over and back between the camps, and a lot of them, you know, reluctant even to take the favourites tag and that type of thing, throwing it from one to the other to stall all kind of, I suppose, yeah, like I said, mind games. And I don't think there's necessarily a whole lot wrong in terms of the physicality and that side of it. That's always been in our, you know, DNA, even men's team, women's team, it doesn't matter, we're always going to have that aggression and that's side of it. And to be honest, I wouldn't mind how we would have played or how we would have won, you know, last night if we just got the job done. And you know, when you do have weapons like the throw-in or like our set piece play, you have to play to your strengths as well, I think, you know, and to play to, like I said, the players that you have at your disposal too.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get back to that in a little bit. You touched on the players, you know, not being huge changes in personnel, because the average age of the team in Cardiff was almost 30. It was a little younger last night, really, because Jesse Stapleton came into the middle of the park instead of Lily Ag. We will come back to that. I just want to ask about the referee's performance, Rihanna. Like, looking back on it today, it did look like Ireland had a stonewall penalty when the game was at 1-0. Jess Fishlock appeared to handle the ball, clearly handle the ball in the box, wasn't checked by VAR, wasn't picked up by the referee. Can Ireland feel a little hard done by last night? Maybe didn't get the rub of the green.
I think obviously you could see it when it happened. You could see the uproar from the players. You could see the uproar from the line, and you could also see the uproar as play continued going down the other end of the pitch. I think if you look at the Welsh penalty and the manner that it was given, play had continued and VAR decided to check it and call the referee over to the screen to see it. So if you're looking at that, it should have been the exact same situation should have happened for the Ireland penalty appeal, and absolutely they can be bitterly disappointed that one decision went against them and then the second decision didn't go in their favour either. The fact that VAR didn't even look into it or call the referee over to the screen is massive. And obviously at 1-0 that would have shifted the momentum and would have changed the outlook of the game as well. But as I said, we just didn't help ourselves. I think the biggest kick in the teeth isn't the first goal of the penalty that was awarded, it's the second goal and the manner that we conceded it. I think that they'll be bitterly disappointed over that, because that was a change in the game. Wales didn't have to go and do anything at that point, being 2-0 up.
Yeah, I think in the interest of balance, we should probably say that Katie McCabe was, I think, fairly fortunate to stay on the pitch. I mean, they clearly targeted her, Rihanna, early on and tried to get under her skin. I think from their point of view, they probably achieved that. She seemed to get irritated and the second half just lost her way a little bit.
Yeah, I think kind of from early doors, I think a lot of those players would know Katie. They play against her week in, week out and have for many years. And obviously Katie being one of our brightest sparks and one of our best players, she never really got a foothold in the game. They obviously frustrated her and you could see that. And getting the booking early on in the manner that she did as well definitely didn't go in her favour. I think that she kind of had to hold back slightly in terms of her aggression and her physicality. Now, as you said, probably fortunate enough that she didn't get a second yellow. But I just think that the way we played and probably had Katie a little bit too deep, and we've spoken about that for years, that when Katie plays at wing back, you kind of take her out of the game. But we don't have another wing back that can step into that position to free Katie up higher up the pitch, unfortunately.
Yeah, that was a running team, really. Maybe, you know, our two best players, Denise and Katie. I mean, I don't know if this system massively benefits them when you have that kind of wing back system. When you're defending, it becomes a five player defensive line, which means Katie McCabe is back at pullback defending, and Denise is kind of isolated a little bit in the middle of the park, having to cover an awful lot of ground. I mean, could we have been a little more flexible with that? Maybe tweak something a little earlier last night in particular.
I think so, yeah. I mean, in Cardiff, I suppose it was just about getting through and getting, keeping the draw back to Dublin. But then I thought last night, I thought initially it worked quite well. We seemed to get them a bit higher and get Heather and Katie on the wings, getting them higher off the pitch. But then it sort of just seemed to go backwards then, and they were pinned back. And credit has to go to Wales really in that regard. They got their tactics right, they got their game plan right. They, like you said, they were trying to get under Katie's skin, and they were successful in doing it. And I suppose the same thing, they would have targeted Denise as well. I know, just to make sure that she's kept quiet. And it's difficult then because, yeah, we don't have other outlets at times. We're so reliant on them that then it becomes difficult when they're players that are shut down. And yeah, I think if we could have pushed them up higher, like, and maybe we're a bit happier to leave the three at the back. But then again, like Rhianna says, then we got caught then for the second goal, because we just went man on man, pushed up, and we were 3-on-3 at the back, and they opened us up too. So it's a difficult one. Obviously hindsight's great and that, and but they did play with how they thought that the best to do it. But yeah, I think we just had to found a way, and Katie herself probably had to find a way to make more of an impact in the game.
Let's look ahead a little bit. I mean, I will just to say from the outset here that the legacy of this squad is secure. What they've done is incredible. Over 25,000 people there last night. It's been a hell of a journey. Rhianna, I don't know if you agree. I kind of feel like it's the end of something. You know, not that the growth won't continue, of course it will, but just for this squad, there's a lot of players now well into their 30s. Perhaps we could see retirements in the next month or two. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But it kind of feels like it's the end of a chapter now, and Ireland have to dust themselves down and go again. Do you expect Eileen Gleeson to be the manager for the next World Cup campaign? Our contract is now up after last night's defeat. She hasn't spoken to the FAI, she tells us, yet. Do you think Eileen will get another go at this?
I think it's difficult to see, but it's difficult to predict as well, because if we had a look back to the end of the Vieira era, who would have predicted that Eileen would have got the job permanently? You know what I mean? Obviously, the way the Nations League was set up, she had a really good campaign in terms of when we were in League B. Obviously, going up to League A then was a completely different ball game. We got drawn into the group of death. I mean, I don't think we'll ever be drawn in again into a group with the likes of England, France, and Sweden. And it showed the difference in levels and difference in abilities at that point. Obviously, finishing that campaign with a win against France was unbelievable down in Cork. But it's difficult to kind of predict what is going to happen. It depends on what the FAI see. Obviously, we know that the FAI are in a bit of trouble, so it's difficult to see where they plan, where they see women's game financially. In terms of getting the best managers, it's going to cost a lot more than it would have a couple of years ago. It's how appealing is that job to the top managers? Do they want to go externally again? If they go externally again, obviously it's going to cost a lot more. So it all comes down, I think, to a financial factor, where potential managers see the squad. As you mentioned, there probably are a number of players that may be looking at retirement, or people may be looking to retire them. You don't know. As you said, there are a number of players that are in their mid-30s, and they were potentially looking at the Euros in Switzerland. Doing two major tournaments back to back would have been a great, perfect end to an international career, and unfortunately they didn't get that fairy tale ending. Obviously, that's questions that they have to ask themselves. It all depends on where they are at club level. It all depends on what we have coming through. And I think that's the biggest thing. We've got a big gap in terms of appearances and experience between those players that are in their late 20s up to mid 30s, to the younger players that have maybe been around squads but maybe don't have too many caps, bar the likes of Heather Payne, and that are the exception. I mean, you spoke about Jessie Stapleton. Obviously, she's after accumulating a number of caps over the last campaign, and obviously it's great to see, but it's where do you see her? Is her best position as a centre back? Is her best position as a holding midfielder? Who is our holding midfielder? We've had that talk throughout this whole campaign. Obviously Megan Connolly struggled for fitness, Rusha struggled for fitness. You've had Jessie Stapleton in there, you've got Lily Ag in there as a midfielder. Obviously we want Denise higher up, so I think all these questions come into play, and it really depends on what other options they see that they may have. But also, are they happy with Eileen's performance? Are they happy with just getting to a playoff and being marginally beaten by a team ranked lower than us? It really depends on the outlook of the FAI and what they're looking for and what they see for this squad.
Yeah, let's just look at that Rhianna's point on the age profile maybe a little more, because one of the things we heard after the World Cup was that when the FAI had their own internal review and that they wanted to reduce the age profile of the squad, looking ahead to not just this Euros but the next World Cup and the Euros after that in 2029. By the time the next World Cup comes around in 2027, Katie McKay will be 31 or 32, Denise will be 33, pushing 34, Courtney Brosnan 32, Kira Caruso 31, Louise Quinn 36, Julianne 35. Like that's a problem, isn't it? I mean, that's the core of your squad there that you've built your team around, who are now, there's plenty of football left in them, but players decline. It happens, with age. It's natural. They're only human. They already have a lot of miles on the clock. Would you be concerned about that?
Yeah, and I going back to Rhianna's point, I'm concerned with the big gap, yeah, in the appearances. And I mean, if the players, they've been around squads are right for even a couple of years, and but they haven't really got an opportunity on the pitch. And we have had a similar enough, obviously the starting 11 has changed, but we have a similar core of six, seven players there who play every game. And the majority of those, like you said, are in their 30s, are hitting their 30s in the next couple of years. So yeah, it's but I suppose it's a factor that every squad faces. It's inevitable. And I think it's just, yeah, how the main issue there is the feeder system coming through, and the fact that the players, they're not getting international or game time on the pitch with the seniors. So it's shouting out again just for the under 23 team, like there's no way around it. And had players who played with the under 19s progress through to a under 23 team or a home base team or a B team, whatever you want to call it, and getting their international experience there and building up their minutes and their experience, and then they may be in a better position then to take over from the players who are pushing on in age.
Yeah, we've spoken quite a lot about the absence of an under-23s team, or a bridge basically between the under-19s and the seniors. That is such a huge leap, Rhianna, and it seems to be a leap that's only getting bigger and tougher. Given the acceleration of the game, you look at like how strong the Super League is now, how difficult it is for Irish players to go over there and break into teams over there, and the Championship, by the way, which has also become this, getting stronger every year. The only thing I'd say is that we have a Nations League campaign starting in February against Slovenia, Greece, and Turkey. Like, would you use that now to start just blood and talent? Play the young players, give them a chance, give them caps and experience.
I think it's a catch-22. I don't think we have an abundance of players or a luxury of players that we can just swap out like the 11 or maybe leave three or four in. I think that you're setting those players up for failure then if you put them all in at one time. It needs to be kind of a process and one or two at a time. But I'm sure there are certain areas that you're looking at. I mean, if you look at our back three last night, you've got the likes of Anna Patton and Caitlin Hayes, who are new into the team and new into the campaign. Obviously, so they're still not young players either. I believe that they're in their mid to late 20s as well. But but they've definitely brought in an abundance of experience. You can see obviously Anna Patton's been around the Women's Super League in England for years, and obviously she done her stint in college in America as well. I do think that they do need to look at where they see that squad for potentially qualifying for the World Cup and target the players that they feel can have a big impact. Obviously, from camp to camp, it changes people's form, dip, people come into form, people grow at different stages. And it's about whoever the manager is at that point looking down. It needs to be a platform building into that World Cup and building back then and seeing where we can get these players the exposure, where we can get them the game time, obviously making sure that they're doing it at club level first, because it's not just a given that because you're in an Ireland camp that you're going to get caps. It has to be warranted. You have to be performing. And I think that's the biggest thing. We need players that are performing consistently week in, week out at club level, because it's a natural jump. It's a higher jump again once you come to international level. Yes, we've gone back down to League B in the Nations League, which is obviously going to benefit us. It helps us in terms of our structure for the qualification. But then I think it also hinders us. I think if you look at Wales, they were on an upward trajectory in terms of the games that they were playing, the level of opposition. They kind of had that confidence coming into it, which was different. But obviously we are the way we are now in the Nations League. Obviously you hope that we've dropped down to League B. We're naturally going to qualify again for League A, which will lead into the qualifications for the World Cup then.
Yeah, and hopefully a chance to rebuild that momentum. It must be strange though, Rhiannon, like if you go from League A where you're playing England at Carrow Road and France and Metz and for the big crowds and good stadiums, the home games were all at the Aviva. Now we're back to Slovenia, Greece, Turkey. I mean, we saw last year in League B away to Hungary and Georgia, very, very small crowds. Like, is it difficult to get yourself going again once you get a taste of those big nights and those big occasions?
I don't think so. I think, like, obviously that's where we want to be. We want to be playing against the best of the best. We want to be improving ourselves. We want to be proving that we're not just here to take part, that we want to compete. And our ultimate goal as a nation is we want to be qualifying for major tournaments. We want to be able to improve and to succeed. I think I don't know if you've listened to Rusha's post-match interview yesterday. One thing I picked up from that was we need players that are comfortable and confident in possession, no matter where they are on the pitch, no matter how tight the space is. And that's ultimately the difference between us and the highest nations. You look at them, you look at how they play, they don't change how they play for other nations. They're comfortable in what they do, they're comfortable in their systems. Yes, they have some of the best players in the world, but that is ultimately where Ireland want to get to. You look at how we change our formations, tweak slightly, our personnel change slightly based on the opposition that we're playing. I know that when you're a lesser nation, you don't have an abundance of players that are playing at that level. You have to adapt, but ultimately, if you want to compete and you want to be there consistently, we need players that are comfortable and confident in possession to be able to play that free flow and attacking style of play that we're looking to adapt to. And I think maybe you touched on it, like we're never going to lose that like aggression or that physicality. Like that's in our DNA and it's always going to be part of it, but it's about progressing and kind of taking care of the ball in possession. And that just comes with having players playing a higher level.
Yeah, and in fairness, Maeve, I mean that I thought Rusha's interview was excellent, and I actually it's worth mentioning Megan Connolly and Kira Caruso were in the mix zone afterwards, and they were excellent as well, really articulate and measured, which isn't easy, you know, most disappointing night of their career probably, but I think it is just worth mentioning that it must be a very difficult thing for any player to face the media after a defeat like that. But you know that those issues, like I mean, I think Gleeson or no manager can correct those issues in a 4-day international window. This is a cultural, systematic problem for the FAI that's going to take a lot of time and concerted funding now. I mean, that's, I think, almost separate to the Irish national team's immediate concerns. We want to try and win the Nations League group and then qualify for the World Cup. But they probably need now to look at a grand plan to make sure they don't slide backwards, because you know, you've seen some of these League B countries in particular, that they are getting better very quickly. Like, I think people might underestimate how tricky the upcoming League B campaign could actually be. You can see, like, the acceleration of some of these countries. Greece, I would say, you know, Turkey will be tough. So there's lots to work on.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, yeah, like you said, we're progressing and we think we're getting better year and year, but so are all the other nations too. And that's the main thing now, is that we keep progressing at a faster rate than the teams below us, and try to bridge that gap. But there seems to be a big disconnect, I think, personally, between the women's senior team and the kind of rest of the football, women's football in Ireland, be that the underage international teams or the domestic league as well. I think we just need to try to bridge that gap. And funding is obviously the huge, huge part of it, and just the structures that are in place. And it's a huge overhaul, I think, is probably needed. But it's difficult. But going back to your earlier point, yeah, I thought the girls, they spoke really well. Like back in, what was it, 2008, we lost the last playoff we were at, we lost over in Iceland, but it was at that time we didn't have to face the media. You know, we could just deal with it on our own. And I think the game has moved on so much now that that's a huge part of it. And yeah, the girls, like I said, they were really, I think they were great to be able to speak so well after such a crushing defeat. Like in those moments, it's so raw. Even I know in the afterwards, just talking to people after the game, it was people were struggling to find words themselves because of just how there was so much expectation, I think, on the team and the players themselves. Like even Ruscha said, you know, they all thought they were going to the Euros, like, and not that wasn't in an overconfident or cocky way. It was just that was the plan, and obviously the plan didn't work out.
Well, before we wrap up, let's follow those Ireland players' lead by being gracious and giving Wales their dues, Rhianna. They were good last night. I thought that their setup was good. They all knew what they were doing. I think that one of the issues with Ireland that the midfield has changed game on game for quite a while, whereas Wales have a fairly consistent 11. Their defensive midfield and attacking units are very well drilled. And it's a big breakthrough for them. This is the first ever major tournament. Impressed by them?
Yeah, I think obviously congratulations to them. I think you could see two sides of the tale last night. You could see how bitterly disappointed Ireland were and how we were as a nation that we didn't qualify, but you could also see the joy in them, obviously qualifying for their first major tournament. It's fantastic. So credit to them. As you said, they looked like they knew what their game plan was. They stuck to it, and everybody knew their role in that system. As I said, the first half, Ireland probably had more of the ball, looked a little bit more dangerous in the flow, but then on the counter attack, Wales were they were quick, they were sharp, they were driving at us through midfield, they were pulling players out of the back line, and they were nearly capitalized on a couple of our mistakes. They had two really good chances, which brought two great saves from Courtney Brosnan in that first half as well, who was outstanding again. So it was from a Wales perspective, they were good. We didn't do enough to challenge them or break them down, especially in the second half. I think we left it too late to kind of put the pressure on them, and we resulted in just trying to go long, trying to get bodies high. I think it was Caitlin Hayes and Anna Patton stepped in. Jessie Stapleton kind of sat back a little bit, and we kind of didn't really threaten them until we got the couple of corners in a row and a couple of long throws from Megan. But they dealt with everything that we threw at them. It was bodies on the line. It was last ditch defending in those final 10 minutes, and obviously smart play from their goalkeeper then going down to waste a bit of time as well, which kind of took the momentum and swung it a little bit more in their favour.
Yeah, there was needle on the touchline as well, Maeve, and all the Irish management weren't very impressed with how Wales conducted themselves, their backroom team and their manager, Rhian Wilkinson. But she is a winner. She made no apologies for it afterwards. She's a very good coach. And I think over the two legs, she probably just exhibited that canniness, making the substitutions at the right time, kind of sussed Ireland out a little bit. She's an impressive figure, isn't she?
Yeah, she is, and excuse me, she has the kind of the persona as well to go with that. And I think, yeah, like you said, the changes she made, they were crucial. And you know, Jones came on, scored after only I think 3 or 4 minutes after being introduced, and that was the killer blow. You know, that second goal. And you know, on the flip side, then we were, I suppose, just later making the subs. Didn't make any sub until the 72nd minute. And you know, when you're chasing a game, I suppose it's difficult. But definitely, yeah, Wales, you can see a very similar, I think, trajectory maybe with their women's football. We seem like a similar pattern in their in terms of their development. They just seem to be that couple of years maybe behind us. You know, they're obviously catching up now at this stage. And I think, yeah, for them and for women's football in Wales, I think it'll be a huge thing. You know, obviously we know ourselves the impact of qualifying for a first you know, major finals has on the country. So yeah, credit to them. Definitely, they're, you know, they got everything right. They got the game plan right. They seemed to get the tactics right, and you know, obviously, then they were clinical as well when they needed to be, and that was the deciding factor, really.
Indeed, it was, and well done to Wales. They've got a big 2025 to look forward to. The Republic of Ireland have to lick their wounds now and take a breather. And we'll take a breather here as well on the RTE Soccer Podcast. That's us done now for 2024. We'll be back in the new year for the new League of Ireland season, the men's and women's Premier Divisions. The men's national team have a Nations League playoff to negotiate. And then the women's team will be back in Nations League action. They play Turkey in February to kick it all off again. So thanks again to Rihanna and to Maeve for joining us here to pour over that. A disappointing end to the year for Ireland, but hope springs eternal. And we hope that they can get the show back on the road in the new year and make a good crack at making the World Cup in a couple of years' time. Thanks again, and we'll chat to you again. Bye-bye.